You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or find our other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
I just wanted to start as well just by saying a massive thank you to all of you who got in touch to say you were praying for us, and just thanks for your concern. Theo, who's our youngest, has been a bit ill for several weeks, and so Chris thankfully swapped with me last week so that I could be at, well, I was actually here, thankfully, but he was in hospital, so he's out and he's feeling so much better. He was outside playing football this morning, so kids bounce back quickly. So that's true, but also God heals. And he heals through all sorts of means and ways. Through Alex's flapjacks, that was a significant contribution. But also medical professionals and time and the way he's made us and miraculous intervention. They are all part of the way that God brings healing to us. And so we're just super grateful to God that Theo's doing all right. We're still waiting for some tests and bits and pieces. But yeah, just so grateful. But also, we had some of our neighbours over this week, and that was all kind of pre-planned, and we didn't want to cancel that. So they came over, and then at one point we brought out a tray of brownies, and they were like, how have you done all of this when you've got all this going on? We're like, we didn't. Like, people in our church gave us these brownies. And it turns out there's a mutual connection, and they were like, what? So people just, like, bring you cake? I was like, that's the main message of the Christian faith. So never underestimate just what something that might feel quite simple and just a little bit small can have in terms of like a gospel witness as well, because it makes an impact on people, and it just really struck them that that's the kind of community we belong to. So be encouraged. This morning, though, we are back in our series of Hungry for God, and I'd love you to turn to Deuteronomy 8. That's in the Old Testament. And we're going to be thinking a little bit about, so obviously I was planning to start this series, but it doesn't really make a great deal of odds. But one really important thing you need to know about this preaching series that we're going through is that the aim of this is not to make you hungry for God. That's not what we're trying to do. You see, you already are hungry for God. That's the truth. That's actually the truth of every human heart. We are very hungry for God. The problem isn't that we need to kind of get more hungry. And if we were just like, if we had more of like a desire for God, then no, we have a desire for God, all of us, but we try and kind of fill that in all sorts of other places. We fill that void in us, we fill that hunger in us in all the places that actually can't satisfy and end up leaving us even more empty. And so the aim of this series is to help us to recognize that the only way we can actually live is to satisfy that hunger that we all have in God himself. Through the means that he provides, and he gives us all sorts of things to help us with that, and one of those is the glorious church. But he helps us to come to him ultimately. And so we're going to be looking at prayer, faithfulness to the Bible, and being filled with the Spirit. So in Deuteronomy 8, I'll just read it and then I'll tell us a little bit about what's going on here. It says this, and you shall remember, this is verse 2, the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, this kind of bread that fell from heaven, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So the book of Deuteronomy is kind of recapping and retelling the story of the people of God on their exodus out of Egypt, all the things that God did. It's kind of a retelling thing because there were a whole new generation of people who weren't alive when it was happening. So they wandered in the wilderness for these 40 years, and they're retelling some of this story because it would seem that it's easy to forget. They were told that we have to remember these things. And so most of the people now have only secondhand experience of the things that God did, of the stories, the miracles, the incredible moments of when God led his people out of the wilderness through the man Moses, but it was God leading to them. And now they sit overlooking this land that they were promised when they came out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they're sitting and they're looking at this promised land that God has been leading them to. And Moses is telling these people of God all the important things. This is like, this is the stuff you really need to know. Before I die, I want you to know this stuff. And one of those things is this, that actually God lets his people hunger so that they learn what truly satisfies. So last week I was in Poland in a place called Wisza, and I was with Dave McNee, who some of you will know. He used to be an elder here, now leads a church in Grace in Salisbury called Grace Church. He's doing a great job, by the way. The church is thriving there and doing really, really well. And we were at something called the European Leadership Forum, staying at a big conference hotel. There's 500 leaders from all sorts of churches. We were invited and paid for by a trust that gave us some money to do some study a while ago as well. So they've been incredibly generous, and we're really, really grateful. And some of you are going to be interested to know who some of the speakers were, and you can find out afterwards. Some of you might be interested to know, you know, all the things I learned, and again, you can find out afterwards. But one of the things that most of you will want to know is what the food was like. And when I tell you, it was there was a buffet every meal. This was just one little moment that I took a picture of, because I was mainly interested in the food. But there was breakfast every morning with an omelette chef. Now, if you've ever stayed in a hotel where there's an omelette chef, you'll know that it is the peak of humanity. So they're making omelettes to order, and there was a moment that struck me. So this wonderful lady, this omelette chef, and she wasn't there on one morning, and frankly, the standard dropped. So I was glad when she came back. This is when I took this picture. She had a sign, you could have an omelette, you could have scrambled eggs, you could have fried eggs, or you could have a shakshuka. And again, you find out afterwards, because I had to look it up too. And then a young man came behind me in the queue and asked the lady, do you do Japanese-style omelette? To which this Polish lady just looked at him and went, what? And basically, you know, in her answer of what, said no. And it just really struck me as a moment, because here this guy was, and we were, surrounded by food. Surrounded by everything you could possibly have ever wanted, and lots of things that you wouldn't have wanted for breakfast. And then all he was actually thinking was, well, we've got all of this. I could have eggs cooked four different ways, but could you do it like this? And it really struck me. Partly because I think he wanted this Japanese omelette, probably because he saw it on TikTok or Instagram, right? That's how these things work. But he wanted something that was already there, just packaged in a different way. It was still the same eggs, he just wanted it this way. And I think we are so similar. See, we live in a day when we have access to everything we could possibly ever want. So we have the Bible in so many ways that we can access. Access to the Bible has never been easier. In all of human history, we have at least 10 Bibles in our house. There's always a moment, though, when you need one and you can't find it, right? But that is still true. You can access the Word of God on every device you own. You can have it read to you. You can have it sung to you. You can have it explained to you. You can have it translated into pretty well any language. You can read it on a train, you can read it on the bus, you can read it in your home, you can read it at the dinner table, you could read it at work or in school. We live with such freedom, and yet, often, it feels like we're like that guy behind me who's like, well, could you just do it this way? Could I have it in a Japanese-style omelette, please? Could I just have it like nicely leather-bound with some flowers? Could I have it with some notes space? Could I have it in this... And we miss the thing that is in front of us. Could you just package it in a way that I might like it more? This is the weird thing with abundance, right? Abundance doesn't make us more satisfied. It just makes us forget what it's like to be hungry. I wasn't hungry for a week. Like every single mealtime, I've never eaten more grilled pork neck in my life. I'm sure that was a weird translation from Google Translate on one of the signs, but I just wasn't hungry. By the end of the week, I was deliberately just choosing salads. If you know me, you'll know what a kind of, yeah, I can see Vicky's face. She's known me for a long time. But we forget what it's like to be hungry. Now, I was sat in church a few weeks back when we were downstairs in the main hall, and I snapped this picture, which hopefully will be there. Ever since I've known Bob, I have been struck by his hunger for God. It is evident in his life. He is an incredible man of God. And here he is, scribbling notes as Chris preaches in this little notebook, well in his advanced years, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, but living out this truth that man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then behind him, you can see some other hands taking a picture of the screen, of the verses that are on the screen, and that's the wonderful Carolyn. Friends, if you have an ambition in life as a Christian, can I encourage you, be like these guys? They are amazing. Last week, I was, as I've explained, we had a lot going on, and I actually went over to Carolyn to ask if I could show this picture, but I didn't even get to ask her if I could show this picture because she went straight into encouraging me and talking to me about what the Bible says. And it's a joy for us to be in a family where we have this. Hungry for God. Imagine the lifetime of notebooks that Bob has. Imagine the photos of PowerPoints on phones when you're scrolling through and trying to find pictures of the grandkids and it's scripture after scripture. These are outworkings of verses like Psalm 119:11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Can I encourage you, younger folk, get to know our older folk. It will do you good. I promise. And we do each other good. There are examples of heroes of the faith that don't have their name in lights. You won't find them on Instagram being influencers, but they have an influence in our family. See, God's plan with the Israelites in the desert was to teach them dependence and hunger for God. Not because actually it was what they needed in the desert. The point was they were going to need this so much more in the promised land. So they learned dependency on God in the place where it was hard and it was barren and God provided for them, not because that was the point, but because they were going to be going to somewhere where they would have everything they needed. And when you have everything you could possibly ever want or need, the thing you need more than any of those things is to know that you are still dependent on God. We live in the promised land in multiple ways. We are there. We have crossed over into the land that God has promised. And yet, we still find ourselves hungry and unsatisfied because we still look in all the wrong places. Even as followers of Christ, maybe you find yourself just exhausted or anxious or frustrated or just endlessly scrolling. Maybe you're obsessed with achievements in your exams or at work or in your personal life. You're looking for the next thing to be able to let everybody know you've achieved that or done that. I'm in this relationship status now. Maybe you have this insatiable need to just be entertained. The thought of just like sitting for a bit terrifies you. What would I do? Maybe you have the need to so be entertained that you actually end up creating drama in your life. Or you're drawn to those with drama in their lives just to keep yourself going because it's a need in you. You can't live without the buzz of the crisis. Maybe you're just actually so busied with church activity. But in all of these things, we're lacking intimacy with God himself. You are hungry. And it might be that you are feeding off scraps that feed hunger rather than satisfying your soul with God. You were made for relationship with God. And that, as I explained earlier, that comes through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no way to come into that relationship with him. There is no other way. We come through Jesus. And Jesus himself quotes these very verses that we've read in Deuteronomy. He's faced with a lie from Satan that he could be satisfied with everything his own power could give him. And then Jesus quotes these verses. Man shall not live by bread alone. Friends, we can't do better than Jesus does. He's completed it. He's like ticked off how to live the life. And he recognizes his own need in the Word of God for the Word of God spoken to him in Scripture and in prayer. We cannot live on the things of this world. And until we realize that, we will just continue to run harder and harder and harder on this treadmill that is going nowhere and just grinding ourselves into the ground. It can feel like we're doing all sorts of wonderfully Christian things, but it does nothing in us. Do you have that feeling? It's like I try so much harder and I just feel so much emptier. Nothing satisfies but God himself. The psalmist expresses these in different ways, that an awakened heart to the things of God knows to be true. He says in Psalm 84, verse 2, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." He's putting words on the language, on the experiences that we know to be true, where it's like, there's something in me that just needs something so much more and I can't seem to get it. Psalm 63 says this, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." Can you be on this? Oh, my fuzzy, sorry. "My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." And then in verse 5, there's this declaration, "I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." See, the danger is that, like I said, we're not too hungry. That's not the danger that any of us face. The danger is that we are too easily satisfied with rubbish. Recently, I've been having breakfast with one of my boys once a month. We go out before school. It's like an early thing, and like time to try and find kind of just time one-to-one is not straightforward when you've got football clubs and everything else that's going on. And so we're just doing a breakfast, and we've been going to McDonald's because it's the only place that's open super early. And old Simon Muncie would think that was the best thing ever. Like, past me, like a McDonald's breakfast, oh, that's great. Current me, it's like, oh, this is awful. Like, time together, glorious, wonderful. But, like, it's so empty. It's such rubbish food. Sorry if you work at McDonald's or you're a shareholder or something. But it just doesn't satisfy, does it? It's the kind of thing that you eat and you think, oh, it's tasty. And then, like, no time afterwards, you just feel so empty and you're hungry again. This series, I want to be really, really clear, is not about us. This is not us saying that we are increasingly becoming a church who are hungry for God. Like, we're trying to increase your hunger. We're going, come on, get more hungry. No, we are just pointing you to God. And the ways he's given us to do that are through prayer, faithfulness to the Bible, being filled with the Spirit. Jesus says in John 7, he says, this is the explanation. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and in a loud voice said, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." See, in the wilderness, in the desert, our hunger is exposed. That's what was going on with the Israelite people. It's what will have happened if you've put your faith in Jesus. There was a time before that was like this wilderness, when your hunger for something was exposed. Maybe you're in that place right now this morning, and your hunger is exposed. Maybe that's why you're here, because you're like, there's got to be something. Someone must know something about how to be filled. And these people seem to have something. In the wilderness, our hunger is exposed, and then the psalmist expresses it beautifully. And here, Jesus explains how we can be satisfied. There's a quote that says, in often like in evangelism and mission and things like that, that sharing your faith is, that you are just a beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. And I think there's some truth in that. But the truth, I think, that's deeper than that is that once you have found that life, once you've found that bread of life, you're no longer a beggar. Do you know that? We're not just all beggars with other beggars. We sang it earlier, right? We were the beggars. Past tense. If you have found faith in Jesus Christ, you are no longer scrabbling around on the floor. You have a table prepared before you with the richest of foods. Things that can actually satisfy your soul. Rivers of living water flowing from within you. And as we come to God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit, we actually find that our deepest hungers are satisfied. But you might also be thinking, but as a Christian, I still feel hungry. And that's because what is happening in us is that our hunger is both satisfied, but then also enlarged. God is infinite. There is always more for us to learn and know and grow of in Him. And so we can be both satisfied and hungry, rather than just hungry. Does that make sense? We're no longer surviving on the scraps because Jesus invites us to the table with Him. You can read about this in Psalm 23. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we come to Him. He has graciously given us means by which we can enjoy this relationship with Him. We can enjoy knowing Him through prayer, through the Word, through being filled with the Spirit, through being in community in the church. And it has to be spiritual. It has to be a spirit thing. Because if you try and do it just on your own, if you try and just do it out of duty, just going through the motions, well, I'll say some prayers. I'll read some Bible. It actually becomes very dry and dusty and lifeless. It doesn't fill you. But empowered by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, these things suddenly come to life. There's a lot of books and podcasts around at the moment that are rightly pushing the importance of spiritual disciplines. And the heart of what they've got to say is really good. So you might have read a book called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer or listened to some of his podcasts and things like that. And I think there's a lot of really good stuff in there. I think it's a great book, actually. My concern, though, is that we tend towards spiritual or discipline. We tend to have a bent in us towards one of those kind of things. And even with a series like this, being hungry for God through these things, we can start to believe, if I just get disciplined enough, I'll have it sorted. My life will be great. I'll be a really, really good Christian. And if I'm a really good Christian, then life will be fantastic. That's what the Bible says. You see, some people want discipline without the dependence. And all that becomes is a performance. You don't need to perform for God. Jesus has performed on your behalf fully. There's nothing you could do that would make God go, wow, I'm going to bless you. We saw in the Ephesians series, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's all yours. Others of us maybe want more of the spiritual stuff, but without the forming and the formation of the discipline. And that just becomes instability. We become blown around by life and fads and the latest thing that someone might be saying. But you see, prayer and scripture, they become life-giving when the Spirit brings us through the Son to the Father. And we know Him in all of His glorious nature. So if discipline is a big thing for you, can I encourage you, be spiritual in your discipline? And if being spiritual is a big thing for you, be disciplined in your spirituality. God gives us the means by which to come to Him. And in a way, I think the picture of this whole thing can be boiled down to this. You are starving hungry. And we can end up just feeding off the scraps of rotten food when Jesus is sat at the table inviting us and He freely says to us, come and eat, come and drink. Do you want to feel loved? It's only found in Jesus. If you're looking for love in other relationships, you won't find it until you know you're loved by Jesus. Do you want peace and wholeness and hope? It's Jesus. See, this whole series is not about kind of tips and techniques on how to pray, how to read the Bible. It is about Jesus. Prayer, faithfulness to the Bible, being filled with the Spirit is all about Jesus. Now, we said in this series, Chris introduced it last week, we're going to do just one thing to take away and apply each week. I've got four. I'm sorry. But I want to encourage you with these things. There are some exciting things happening in the life of our church, but they're irrelevant unless we make use of them, right? Unless we actually enter into this stuff together alongside one another. I need you and you need me in these things because it does us good. And so I want to encourage you, the first of those things, you can sign up to a life group. We're kind of some of the way through life groups and that's okay. There's spaces, and if there aren't spaces, we'll figure out a way. That'll be Abigail and Phil's problem. It'll be fine. But this is where we live this stuff out. You can discuss what's happened on a Sunday or what you've been reading or what God's been doing in your life. You can wrestle with it. You can disagree with the things that are said from here and go, but what about if? You can work it out with others. You can put something in your weekly or fortnightly calendar that is a moment that makes you bump into God beyond a Sunday morning. A moment to be satisfied in him. Second, I want you to get a date in your diary. This is advance warning. So in October 24th to the 25th, so that's a Saturday and a Sunday, we've got Terry Virgo who's going to be come to join us. And we're going to get together as a whole church somewhere locally. We haven't worked out all the details yet. But we're going to hear Terry's teaching on grace. And that literally changed my life when I was about 20 years old. I was at a conference, a thing called UCCF Forum, and Abigail was there as well, which we never knew until recently. And I was sat behind a guy called Rico Tice, right? So I was keen at that point, so I sat on the second row. And he was in front of me. He was one of the other speakers for the week, and he was doing all the Bible teaching. And we were listening to Terry preach through Romans, and he just had his Bible open and a pen in his hand. But he was absolutely transfixed on what this guy was teaching from the front, and yet so excited about what he was reading in Romans that he was underlining verses whilst not looking at his Bible, and he crossed out half of Romans. I was talking to someone who works with him, actually, while I was in Poland, and they were like, his Bible just makes me shudder. They were like, he writes notes in highlighter across the page. So I want to encourage you to be there for that, to make a point. It's the first weekend of half term. So if you're in the process of planning, go away on the Monday. It'll be worth it. Trust me. I want to encourage you to be there. Put it in your diary as an immovable object. Thirdly, I want to encourage you, if you've been listening to this today, or if you just listen in general in church and you're thinking, I would love other people to know this sort of stuff, or I'd love to encourage others to kind of really get into this, to know more of what it is to follow God, I want to encourage you to come and join us for something called Lead in Life. So this is going to be a leadership development kind of program. It's going to be 10 evenings across a year, so starting in September. And it's going to be thinking about what it looks like to lead others like Jesus leads us. So it's going to be very Jesus-focused. It's not going to be kind of tips and tricks, again, for how to lead your team that, or you know, how to deal with that annoying person. But as we lead like Jesus, all those things come to us. So I want to encourage you, even if you think, like Alex said earlier, no, if you don't think, oh, well, I'm a leader, I want to encourage you, you are. We all lead in some way and in some capacity. And as we grow as a church, frankly, we need to grow in our capacity for leadership. We need to have people leading at all sorts of spaces and places in our church. And we want to equip you to do that like Jesus does, because if we lead in our own strength, if we lead like I would lead, we'll be in a mess before no time. But if we lead like Jesus, he will, I'm sure, bless us and bring us to the kind of life that he promises, which is why it's all these 10 tens. 10 weeks, each week is going to have 10 parts to it. They're going to be 10 minutes each. I know. And it's all based in the fact that Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life in all of its fullness. I know, it goes deep. So Monday evenings across the year, there's going to be a chance to apply. I think that, yeah, you can apply there. And we're going to ask you to apply. I want to know why you want to do it. I don't want people who are already really, really busy to add another busy thing. Okay? This isn't about getting busy for Jesus. This is about leading like him. Fourth thing, I want to urge you to get involved with finding space to pray. Chris spoke to us about prayer last week. If you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. It will do you good. You're going to get one of these on your way out this morning. We've got about 100 or so, I think. So if you're kind of a couple, grab one maybe between you for now. Charlotte has been working on some amazing stuff around this idea of finding space to pray. And as you can see through all these the things that was just scrolling, this is when we say pray, we can have a really narrow view of what we mean by that sometimes. But actually, when we talk about prayer, it's space to be with God. It's space to bring the challenges of life before him. It's space to praise him for the incredible things that are going on. And this booklet's been put together by Charlotte, and we've worked on it together. Sasha's put it together into this really helpful thing. It explains a little bit about what's going on, how to use this booklet. And it's mostly based in Psalms. Well, in fact, it's entirely based in Psalm 23. And it's a resource that goes alongside this series to coach us in how to pray. I would love it if this didn't go in the pile of letters in your kitchen or wherever yours might be. I would love it if this becomes dog-eared and a bit battered because it's actually used. There's an online version of this on our website. You can find that. Space to pray is an important kind of factor in a Christian life because it doesn't just happen, does it? How many times have you told yourself, I'm going to pray more? And then told yourself again, I'm going to pray more. We need to make space for these things in our lives. You can join us on a Zoom on a Wednesday lunchtime. So that's going to be most Wednesdays. We're going to be joining here on a Sunday. So from, not next week, because it's all a bit different because we're not in this room, but from the 14th, we're going to do a prayer meeting from 9:30, which isn't going to be praying specifically for the meeting. It's going to be making space for us to come to our Father, to come and know God. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't really know how to pray, great. You're in great company. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. We did a series on this a while ago as a church. We're still in that place. We come to Jesus and we say, Lord, teach us how to pray. I want to encourage you to use this book. You can do it as a family. It's written so that you can do it on your own. You can do it with others. You can do it if you work in the same place as other people from church. Find a space to do that together. It doesn't necessarily need to be ages, but don't not do it. Make space to pray. Four things. Just four things. And I know it's a lot, but in a way, this also brings me all the way back to that idea of that breakfast buffet. Like I said, by the end of 5 days of breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a buffet, I actually just wanted like something super simple and a salad. And it can be like sometimes overwhelming when you're faced with such variety and choice. But these verses, a little bit later in Deuteronomy 8, carry this warning to the people of God. It says in verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and you're full, you built good houses and you live in them. When your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Friends, this is our clear and present danger in our day and age. That we have everything we think we need. And we forget the Lord our God. So if there is actually just one thing that you take from this morning and this whole series, it's that all of these things we do, Sundays, life groups, leadership courses, prayer times, everything else, all the ministries that happen outside here on a Sunday morning and kids and hospitality and everything, it all has one aim. And that is to know God. To have your hunger satisfied only in him. So we're going to sing together again in a moment. And as with prayer, to a degree, reading the Bible and singing and being at church, they're means to an end. They in themselves don't contain power.
but inhabited by the Spirit of God, to change us. So if the band want to come and join me, I'm going to pray for us. Why don't we stand together? Friends, you and I need more than we even know to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you've got big questions about the theology of that and how that all works, we're going to be talking about some of that in this series. But we need God. We could sing a song now that's just words on a screen. You might even hit a lovely harmony. You might carry the melody. But so what? It means nothing unless it's to him. Unless it's empowered by the Spirit at work in us that we praise him. So I'm going to pray for us. I encourage you to join me in it. Ask God for his help in these things. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much that you love us enough that you came for us. You came to make a way that we might be able to know you. That we are not like those Israelites wandering in the desert, wondering what's going to come next. But we're those who, to many degrees, we sit in the promised land looking back on the way that you brought us out of slavery to our sin. You brought us out of slavery to the things of this world, and you've brought us to a land of abundance where we can know you in so many ways. And so, Lord, I invite you now, come and fill us with your Spirit again. For some, maybe for the first time. Spirit of truth, that we might hold to the truth of who you are. Spirit of wisdom, that we might live in such a way that it pleases you with our whole lives. Spirit of love, that we might know your love in us and that we might then also extend that love to others. Holy Spirit, that we might be holy, set apart because you are holy and we are yours. Lord, I pray, change us as individuals. Change us as a body of believers here. Work in our hearts. Lord, as we pray this week, as we use this booklet, as we read the word together, as we spend time with you making space, as we sing these words in a moment, Lord, do only what you can do in us. We need you. We long for you. Lord, I pray, satisfy the hunger in us with the richest of foods, that rivers of living water might flow from within us, that we might see your name glorified. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.